Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit.
Boom! I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure
enough. Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken. I forgot that was on there, man. I'm sorry. I totally forgot that was on the end of that track. No, actually, it was originally. When I first put that soundbite together, that was originally on there as a setup for him. This time, I just forgot it was there. And now Kylan's out. So, hey, Geeksters, he's Kylan. This is Vicky. I'm Ken.
And Cassie.
And we are Geek Watch 1. This is issue 130, live from Con on the Cob.
Yay!
And we actually have a crowd out here. Are you recovered enough to be able to talk?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm here. All right.
You guys, after the show, you guys can ask us about the inside joke with that one.
Yeah.
But we've had a great weekend, all weekend. Kind of like, we're dead.
Yeah.
And we're going to go over some of the stuff we did this weekend. And this show is going to be basically a Con on the Cob recap, which everybody in the crowd here has already heard and seen. You guys experienced it. But the geeksters out there, hopefully, most of you made it here, too.
Well, yeah, and the ones who... Well, there are people who are not here that hopefully you guys are listening to this. We miss you. And maybe... You guys can come back in. There are people out there who are listening who have not been to Con on the Cob at all. And we can see you here next year.
Yep.
That's right.
We're already planning, huh?
Oh, yeah.
We're planning some big stuff next year already.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to skip over what you do this week. Because okay. I think that's the whole show right now.
Yeah,
pretty much. Because we've not had time to do anything but Con on the Cob since the last time we recorded.
Yeah, that's pretty much been it, yeah.
But we do have some huge geek news that came out this week.
Yeah.
So you want to start off from the top? I love this story.
Okay. So this was a game changer, I think, and I don't know where the heck this is going to go, but earlier this week, or actually, no, as a early last week, we got news that Brian Michael Bendis, who was one of the big people over at Marvel, has signed an exclusive deal with DC and has jumped ship.
Which is actually something DC's been doing for the last couple of years, that anybody that's actually worth keeping and they know they're going to do great work for them, they've been signing them to exclusive deals and actually paying them what it's worth to have an exclusive deal.
And I've been working on trying to get Bendis over on the Mighty Marvel Geeks, because I knew I had contact with a friend of his that, you know, whenever he's in town, and I even actually directly tweeted him, and he responded. We had a little bit of a conversation, so it seemed like he was interested, but yeah, I don't think that's going to happen now.
It can still happen, because he worked for Marvel for how many years? Like,
yeah,
10, 15 years?
Yeah, you know, I don't think DC would be too happy with him being on a Marvel show if he's currently an employee at DC.
Maybe we'll have to snipe it and get him on Superpowers.
Wow. I mean, that was huge. You know, that, like I said, that was a game changer. And I don't know. I mean, there's a couple books I would love to see him on. I don't know if that's the case or if they're even going to give, or maybe they'll give him an opportunity to work a completely new title. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. Now, I don't know his style. Because I don't read a lot of Marvel. We know this.
Right.
But what type of stuff I know he writes superhero comic books, but what style is he in, really?
He doesn't always do superhero type stuff. Like, while he was here, because he's a Cleveland homeboy. And while the whole time he was in Cleveland, he wrote one called Torso, which was about the Torso murders. That was back in the 20s. Actually, more like the 30s and early 40s. There were a series of murders where the victims' arms and legs were cut off.
Yes, because they just did the Kingsbury Run movie, that independent movie just filmed here.
Yeah.
That I actually was working with.
Yeah.
Is the same story.
Yep. Yeah, so he did a story about that. There's another graphic novel of his that he had done, and there was talk of a movie, but it never happened, called, it's either called Fire or Project Fire, depending on who's publishing it, and it follows a college student who gets recruited into a CIA program that trains everyday people to become special operatives.
Okay.
And it seemed like there was talk of a movie with, I'm trying to remember, the guy that was in High School Musical. Was going to be
Zac Efron.
Yeah, Zac Efron was in talks to be the lead, and then those talks just kind of dried up. But I do highly recommend, if you're looking for what his style is like, those two books are really good as far as non-superhero types books, because Brian Michael Bendis is the person responsible for what we are seeing as the resurgence of Luke Cage. Prior to Brian Michael Bendis getting his hands on the character, Luke Cage was pretty much he was second or third tier, and he was treated that way. But Brian Michael Bendis got the character. He basically tweaked him and made him a self-taught, I would say a private investigator, adventurer type, who actually has a high level of knowledge of the law, as well as some foreign languages as well. And Brian Michael Bendis wanted to give the character some depth, and so that's what he did. Which, in the long-term effects of that is Luke Cage all of a sudden becomes a much more interesting character, who finally ended up getting his own Netflix series.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I believe that if it were not for Brian Michael Bendis' influence on the character, he still would be second or third tier as far as notoriety goes, whereas now a lot of people know about the character who would not have known about him any other way.
Okay. I have an idea here. Okay. And we'll see if this fits. Let me look here real quick to see what it says on this one. Okay. Because Brian Hitch at DC has written Justice League since Rebirth started.
Okay.
And I believe it was issue 32 that came out either this week or next week. Or no, that may have come out last week. Was supposed to be his last book of that title.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was moving on to something else. Mm-hmm. But they did not mention anybody else who's filling that afterwards.
Okay.
Now, I'm looking, issue 33, I just looked, is Tyler Kirkham. But what's the chances that they're going to have Bendis step into Justice League? Because I looked, he's written a lot of team books at Marvel also. He wrote X-Men, he wrote Avengers, he wrote... Imagine that one, him stepping in and writing Justice League, the main Justice League title. With the eight Justice League members.
The thing is, you know, Bendis doesn't really do... Bendis does gritty better.
Okay.
Like, he's never really, like... Like, okay, Bendis is responsible for... Bendis created Jessica Jones for Marvel. Okay. He created Jessica Jones. He's done work on Daredevil. He's done... Like I told you, he did work with Luke Cage. Bendis likes street level. He knows how to humanize characters at that level. I would be shocked... The closest, if they want to give him a big book, the biggest that they could do would be Batman, because
See, the newer Batman is not as dark and gritty as everybody expects.
Yeah, but I think they want to. But it's a street level book. And see, that's the thing. Like, I can't see Bendis. I've never known Bendis to do anything higher than street level for him. I haven't seen him write anything like Captain America.
Thor
or Iron Man. So
he might be good in Detective then, because Detective Comics right now is actually a team book. That Batman's the leader, but the team is like Batwoman, Red Robin, Azrael. It's all the street level Gotham guys, Bat family.
Right.
Including, which is interesting, Clayface is on the team.
Okay.
So, and actually a character like Orphan, I think, would be great for him, from what you're describing for him. Because she's almost totally mute, basically a ninja.
Okay.
So that would be interesting. And actually, I didn't realize, Bendis did work for DC before. And I just closed it out. But he wrote for Batman a while ago, looks like. So he was just one of the guys, or I don't know if he was the writer or I can't. This was a book they did, a graphic they did a while ago. But he's credited in Batman Greatest Stories Ever Told, Volume 2. So
okay,
I guess he has worked for DC in the past.
Oh.
But moving from there, there's been some huge Star Wars news dropped this week. If anybody would... Now, everybody at Con of the Cob, we're kind of in this small little microcosm. It's hard to pay attention to news outside of here. But right before Con on the Cob, I don't know if you guys saw, Star Wars, actually it was Thursday, I think, dropped some huge news. Rian Johnson, who's the director of The Last Jedi, has been announced to writing a new trilogy of Star Wars movies outside of the saga in somewhere in a part of the universe that's never been explored before. So it'll be a totally standalone story, similar to, well, Rogue One wasn't really a standalone story. It's a standalone story, but it still weaves into the standard canon that we know. Han Solo, the new Solo movie, is the same thing. It weaves into where we're at because it's characters we already know. This looks like it's going to be something brand new. That would be beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beyond the Outer Rim.
Grand Admiral would be awesome. Outer Rim stories, yes, would also be another really good one. But we don't know when this is coming, but we do know he's been signed to do it. And also, they announced, everybody's heard of that DC's doing their own streaming app now.
What are the chances we might get Rebels live?
I'd like to see any of the Rebels characters live. See, because the only ones we know for sure, Hera, the Ghost, and Chopper survived the end of Rebels. Because they're in Rogue One. You hear them call for Hera on the PA system, General Syndulla. You see the Ghost in 5 or 6 different shots. And Chopper is actually in one of the scenes. He's actually rolling in the background. Yes, that was the Ghost. Mm-hmm. It's on the tarmac in Yavin 4, and it's in the space battles. And then also, if the Forces of Destiny series they're doing, which technically does fit into canon, the one they're doing for young kids, and they're aiming it more towards girls, but these figures I want too. But Hera's actually in one of those that's on Endor with Han and Leia. So and those fit into the canon also. So she at least makes it as far as Endor. No, you're fine.
No, this is good. But, go.
We're trying to figure out.
Rebels?
I think it's between 5 and 6, but
it is.
Between 4 and 5.
Well, the question is, just in case anybody on the mic didn't hear, where does Rebels actually fit into the canon of Star Wars? And actually, Rebels is the beginning of Rebels was about 5 years before New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
That's why now you're seeing a lot of influence of the Rogue One in Rebels. A lot of stuff you see in Rogue One is coming into Rebels right now because they're probably within 6 months to a year before Rogue One right now.
Well, and Leia is just a teenager.
Yeah, that's why Leia was a young teenager in it. There's a lot of other ones. The last couple episodes they've had Mon Mothma's been in there. Bail Organa's been because they're all in Yavin 4.
That's pretty happy
off and on.
How they took care of us.
Yeah. Yeah, and with Ahsoka, they're not done with her yet.
I thought she was dead.
Well, no, because you got to think, at the end of that, they left it open that you didn't know if she died or kind of walked into the sunset or what. But before the end of the series, which I think there's only 7 or 8 episodes left, after they're doing 9 episodes, taking a hiatus, and then doing the last 6 or 7, they will answer the question of what happens to Ahsoka. So whether she's alive or dead, we will know before the end of the series. We will also know what happens to most of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, the only ones we already know at this point is Hera, Chopper, and the Ghost make it through.
Yeah, if they do another...
Yeah. Well, that's... If the prevailing theory... Now, Kylan's totally out of this conversation because you haven't even watched Rebels yet, have you?
No.
Well, the prevailing theory that fans that I've heard out there, the most popular seems like... everybody's thinking something already that Kanan's not going to make it out. No. Yeah, that's what everybody's assuming. He will die before Rogue One. That's the assumption right now. But the prevailing theory there is also that maybe something happens with that. Because Ezra, if you look at the last couple episodes, has already said that he wants to stay on Lothal and keep working on Lothal. Yeah. Something happens that possibly severs his connection to the Force. So he's still alive, but he's not a Force user anymore. Which is a way out. And Dave Filoni is the one guy in the world that I would trust to be able to do that correctly and make it sound right. Because this guy studied under George Lucas. George Lucas, for 5 or 6 or 7 years doing Clone Wars, Dave Filoni sat with him working Clone Wars. So he knows George Lucas's Star Wars. And that's why Rebels and Clone Wars felt so awesome. Because it was, because George, I love George Lucas's work, obviously. Star Wars is my biggest fandom. But George was a great story guy. And he was a great technical guy. But when it came to actually writing or fleshing the story and writing scripts, that wasn't his strong suit.
I was going to say, he's more of a technical guy.
Like, yeah. He can make it look beautiful.
You want a story?
Yeah, Timothy Zahn. Well, that's why, like, Lawrence Kasdan helped him a lot with Empire and Jedi. And you see a lot of the really snappy dialogue and the fun stuff that was in there was actually Kasdan writing it. That's why a lot of that... that's actually where a lot of The Force Awakens felt like those movies. Because you had the same guy writing the script. So, we're back to the Disney app. The Disney app is coming, we know, because they already said all the Disney and Marvel and Star Wars is leaving Netflix in 2019 so they can put it on the app. Everything except for, I believe, the Netflix Marvel TV series are going to stay. Okay. Because they own those series. Netflix made those. But they've announced this week a live-action Star Wars show for the new app to help launch the app. Similar to what CBS has done with Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
Which we can get into if we want. You guys see Discovery, man. It's interesting.
I think I caught like part of the first episode.
Yeah. Well, what Discovery is a great sci-fi show. I don't see it as a great Star Trek show. It feels almost like Star Trek trying to do Battlestar Galactica.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Orville does Star Trek better.
Is Star Trek the Next Generation with a modern sense of humor? Mm-hmm. You said you have seen some of the Orville now.
I
want to hear your opinion, because we've not talked about this. We keep pushing
it off. Orville, in my opinion, Orville is probably the best Star Trek, non-Star Trek series out there. Because it has a feel, it has a feel that universe of the big universe. You get that feeling like you get from any of the Star Trek series. But the characters, like the people who run the ship, are incredibly realistic.
Yes,
they're incredibly realistic in the sense that these are people that you would meet.
Yeah.
Well, and once you watch more, you'll also see that they don't just focus on the two, the captain. They focus on everybody.
Right. And it's.
Yeah, it's true ensemble show.
It really is.
Just like
it
Next really Generation is. Was. And the Star Trek series is all, none of the, now, the original series, a lot of times focused on Kirk. But that was TV in the 60s. But if you go to now, that started with Next Generation, the show was not about Picard, or it wasn't about Riker. It was about the entire crew. So you had episodes about Worf. You had stuff about Yar. You had Wesley Crusher episodes. They even had, you guys will probably remember this. Remember, they even had one that was about three of the kids on the show with Picard. They were stuck in the elevator. Remember that? But the show, but that episode was about the kids. It wasn't about Picard.
True. It was interesting in that, especially with Wesley, having to go to school, I guess.
Yeah.
while he was on the Enterprise, and so he's still going through classes and stuff. He, you know, I almost assumed that, and like I assumed that they would just have him just chill and do stuff. I didn't think that he would actually be working while he was on the Enterprise.
Yeah, but that was something they did really good.
They
did a really good job. Basically, that newest run of Star Trek, starting with Next Generation,
yes,
was the fact that they showed you, through the stories, they actually showed you real life in that century. So, Exactly, yeah. O'Brien. You see him, he actually met his wife, got married, they had a kid. He moves over to DS9, and then you learn about life on a space station compared to life on a starship. But they would show you actually pieces of life. You would see kids going to school. You would see people living and dying and kids being born and all these things. It wasn't just about outside of the ship. It actually had a lot to do with what was happening inside the ship also. So, and that's what Orville is doing now. They've already started building that. And in the comedy, like I said, is 21st century comedy.
Right. And
it's people that we know right now. It feels like it's the people that would be sitting in the crowd here with us, except their job is to fly a starship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, is and the characters all likable, you know, and they're relatable. And I like that because there are times where, especially when you're talking about sci-fi, and the characters are not relatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Yes.
In case you didn't hear, he says they're Superman and not real people, so.
Right, exactly.
I was going to say, with Orville, you know, we have basically a gay couple having a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking time off with that. You have another one where she's having dating issues because, you know,
because of her abilities and stuff, yeah. Well, that goes into the next thing that Orville does that actually is so great with, and you got to compare it to Star Trek, because this is basically not a parody of Star Trek. It's another variation on the way Star Trek tells the story. It's an homage, yes. But just like the original Star Trek and all the other ones through then, this is very much current topics being tackled by the show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You have a gay couple. It's not a gay couple because their entire species is one sex. So they're all male.
Right.
And the whole idea here is they end up having a child who happens to be born female.
Right.
And their cultural beliefs is as soon as that happens, you send the baby into the doctor to get the baby fixed so that now the baby is male.
Right.
And it was the whole argument between the two fathers of whether this is ethically correct to make the choice for the baby before the baby is old enough to make that choice.
After the one watched Ralph.
Yes. And that's the best part is they use like modern stuff to actually make these points sometimes too.
Orville was that knocked you over the head with the morality tale.
Yes.
Where the Orville, not, you know, like, oh, it's totally about this. It's more like, you know, oh, here we are. Mm-hmm. I'm going to end up hitting you with.
Yeah, it's not like, and actually the one that's doing it worse is I love all the DC Comics shows, but Supergirl for me is like the most political show on television right now. Because every episode, they're making their own political commentary of what's going on in the actual government. it's weird, some of that stuff.
That can date the show, too.
Yeah, that could very much date a show. The nice thing with Orville is, just like Star Trek, is the issues they're tackling are ages-old issues that that humanity deals with.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do we end up on Orville?
Because Orville's good.
This is Geek Watch 1 for everybody. You go on tangents and you keep moving on and things like that. Yeah. So, was there any other big news that you can think of that hit us?
Oh, you know what? I was looking at numbers for Thor Ragnarok because we talked about it.
Amazing soundtrack.
Amazing soundtrack, guys. But,
we've not.
Yeah.
Wait, we did talk Thor. Okay.
Yeah, we talked Thor.
Anybody who's sitting out there that hasn't seen it yet. The best Thor movie ever, and I heard it best from someone else this weekend. They said,
Most likely the best Marvel
movie that comes out, and it seems like it's cliche, but it starts to feel like each one is like, this is the best Marvel movie they've made. And then they make the next one. This is the best Marvel movie they've made.
Marvel, I'm guessing this is as of last night's numbers, 650.1 million dollars
in what? 3 weeks? 2 weeks?
In a week.
It's only been out. I thought it's been out two. No, did it come out last weekend?
It did. Yeah.
Wow. That's is that their largest opening?
I don't know if it's her largest opening. I don't think it's the largest opening, no, but it's now close. The budget is $180 million, so I don't know how Marvel, what they're gonna do with that. I don't know if they're happy with those numbers or not. They totally are, trust me.
No, they're happy with it, because you gotta think, even if you drop what 20 to 30% for the next week, 20 to 30% off of that, you're almost at a billion on 2 weeks.
Yes.
So I think they're happy with that, because even if they put you said what was the budget?
The budget was 180.
So you got to think, the marketing for it was probably close to 200.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely made their money back.
Yes.
And then some.
Yes.
And that's just movie tickets. That's not merch.
The merchandising will send it through the roof also, but... No, that was the international. No, that's the full... Was that domestic? No, that's international, isn't it?
Let me see. That was...
Does it even say? Which one did you go to? Box Office Mojo?
No, I went to... I'm on Wikipedia.
Okay. Box Office Mojo is usually the best one for actually tracking exactly where a movie's at right now. If the internet works here. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. There we go. Come on. Come on, Bessie.
Nope.
And it's not going to want to.
Can we find a hotel employee?
There are none. They've all gone home. Let me go turn off my walkie-talkie. So, I don't know. See if you can pull up Box Office Mojo real quick. Oh, you checking yours too?
Yeah. Box Office Mojo. Okay, so, let's see. This is the magic of...
The internet?
Yeah, the internet.
We can know these things right away?
Ah. Now you woke her up.
Probably. But we're going to check out this numbers real quick, and then we'll get into some recap of what this weekend was all like. Wait, is it? It's trying. Who
T-Rex.
Can pull it up first?
You have a little T-Rex running across your screen.
Mm-hmm. You have it?
Yep, got it. Let's see. Box Office Mojo.
Well, we can get into, you're up. You can get into a little bit of.
There it is.
This weekend.
Yeah.
Cassie is in a music video, or she will be.
Yeah. We'll get that when we get into the music news.
Our little star.
Summary. Hmm. Yeah, they're coming. It was $211 million right now domestic. Foreign is $438 million, so for a total of $650. Yeah, this is going to be fantastic for Marvel. This may actually become the highest grossing Marvel movie to date.
Well, it just showed that they can balance out serious and comedy. And
yeah, well, that's the one thing Marvel's always done with their movies so far.
Yeah.
Is they do tackle serious stuff in their movies. But they put enough comedy in there that it's not a downer the whole time. Which is hopefully what DC is learning how to do. Mm-hmm. They need to figure that balance. Once they figure that out, I think they're going to do phenomenal also.
Well, I liked Loki's reaction when he saw the Hulk.
Yeah, Loki was phenomenal in that movie. But let's, at this point, I think it's about time for us to talk about Con the Cob.
Con the Cob.
And you know it's day four, because that's the most we can get out of anybody on that.
Yeah.
Most of us don't have quite voices left.
Yeah. Oh, it was terrible. You heard me try to sing yesterday.
Yeah.
My voice was shot.
Cassie was dancing.
Yep. So, Con of the Cob, 4 days of gaming, freaks, fun, and art, and all that stuff, like Andy tells us. You guys have been to Con of the Cob. Now, is anybody here actually their first time at Con of the Cob this year? All my new. I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was a fantastic weekend. What are you doing on your phone?
I'm trying to get the numbers.
I already got the numbers. I just told you the numbers.
It's a matter. It's a matter
of principle now.
Yeah.
But no, we had some great time. Like always, Thursday was our setup day. Kyle and I were actually talking about something possibly for next year for Thursday that could be really fun.
Oh yeah.
But we'll announce that when it comes time. Thursday didn't have a whole lot of panels or anything happening because just with everybody coming in, they're not going to have that.
No.
But getting in, let's cover some panel stuff, because was anything that surprised you on the panels? Because we had all kinds of panels this year.
Well, you know, we had to actually expand space for panels this time.
Yeah.
We have just been informed that all of the fantastic viewers come up.
So we had.
I thought you just turned that off.
Well, because I was about to do, and then I went to look up Thor Ragnarok.
Oh,
and then, so
yeah, I'm supposed to have ADD, not you. So we can't both have it.
You do. Well, actually, three of you do.
My brain's fried because I'm on day five of con.
Yeah, but, you usually don't stay here all 5 days. So no, you've been locked in and you're done.
Yeah. So we had, what were we talking about?
Panels.
Okay, yeah. Panels. So this time around, we had a flood of people requesting panels. And actually, I had people asking about panels up until the day of con. And we had a nice selection of panels to choose from. We had a huge chunk of gaming panels. So there are panels for game designing. There are panels for crowdsourcing. There are panels for using old materials for tabletop gaming purposes, such as building maps and that sort of thing for your RPGs at home and that sort of thing.
You guys really didn't have a whole lot of room for your quote unquote fill in panels that we've had.
There was this time around. Like normally we would have a panel or two for for writing and for that sort of thing. And there wasn't room for that. There wasn't room for any of it, which was awesome. Don't get me wrong, but
did you have people actually attending the panels?
We did. Now there are a couple panels that just did not show for whatever reason. But
you're always going to have that. There's a little bit of attrition rate anywhere you go.
Right, but we've had a nice turnout. The thing is. Geeksters Court made a return this year, and with Geeksters Court, we had a steady. We had a big turnout. Don't get me wrong. I would love to have had a bigger group, but we had people who were there, who were engaged, and who definitely made me glad to see the return of that panel. So I think we're going to see more of that, and I have some ideas for what to do next year for them.
Okay. And it actually seemed like it ran better this year because it seemed like you, instead of trying to do it as an actual court setting, you did it more as a just straight debate between the two topics.
That's pretty much it. Like I decided that being the honorable Kylan Tolson, it was my court. I could run it the way I felt like it should be run. So I decided that, if we had experts for said witnesses or experts for the people on trial, let the experts argue it out. I was fortunate in that today, for instance, I had people that were, in essence, experts today was James Bond versus Inspector Gadget. So I actually had somebody who was an expert on Inspector Gadget because I know nothing about the character. But then there were people who were experts on James Bond. And so it was cool to see people sit there and talk about these characters. And I came away from that case with my eyes open, and maybe I don't know. I think I might want to see if there's more to learn about those characters, as it were. But that was cool. It was cool to see that, and I was like, "Oh well, okay." I apologize. I didn't know that. Inspector Gadget actually kind of sort of is kind of human, there's still that question mark.
Yeah, you guys went into some deep stuff with Inspector Gadget.
I didn't expect to go deep on Gadget.
I didn't know there was a new series out on Netflix.
I remember seeing a story about a series, but the thing was, I'm a Voltron fan, yeah. So I kind of got hooked on. Thank you. So I kind of been paying attention to the new series.
Is season 4 out? I think it dropped recently, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Okay,
yes.
We haven't had a chance to watch it
yet.
Oh,
my God.
We saw season 3. We've seen all the way through season 3. And, of course, I watched all the original. That's what I grew up on. That was my anime for me was Robotech, Voltron, all of that stuff.
You mean Go Lion?
Yeah. Yeah, even a little bit of Go Lion. Because I've seen some of it, but that's a lot of subtitles to read to get through that series. Yeah.
And that's on Netflix now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like...
See, but if you want to get some interesting things, get a chance to watch the original Japanese Beast King Go Lion, which was the Japanese version of Voltron. Now, visually, it's all the same, but the storylines in the from the translations is a totally different thing. There are a couple of scenes that got pulled out of the American version. Like in the... now, everybody remembers Sven gets injured and put into a coma and sent back to Earth, and that's why you get the princess as the... the Blue Lion.
Right.
In the original Japanese version, Sven died. And they actually have a full-on funeral with him. And there's a lot more religious overtones in the original Voltron.
That's why
with guys
the new
praying
one,
and all and the religious aspects of it.
That's why in the new one, he dies.
Yeah.
The alternate.
And then in the original series where Sven actually comes back, in the Japanese version, that was actually his twin brother.
Oh.
Wow.
That's all the major ones that I know right now because I've not seen all of Go Lion, but I know that's a couple of the big ones that happened.
I didn't know that.
Well, what it was in the 1980s, they weren't going to have a character die on screen on a television series.
Well, no, it's because they made that
because they saved that for movies with Optimus Prime.
And then they realized that was a bad
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
You know what? Duke could have died and I would have been fine with it. I'm just saying. Well, I'm just saying Duke could have died.
You don't want that little thing at the very end where Doc goes, Duke's going to be good.
And I'm like, really? Oh, we're going to kill Optimus Prime, and then you're going to stick us with Rodimus? But Duke gets to live.
That's because they didn't realize they were going to get little boys' nightmares.
And then we end up with that
crybaby. Little
boys,
little girls, everybody. I fully admit I've done it on here multiple times that I cried when Optimus Prime died.
When Prime died.
That's right. You know. But if you had good parents, they taught you how to deal with these things. They didn't let you lock yourself in your room and hide for days and days and days.
My mom didn't care.
Megatron.
My mom didn't care. She's like, it's a cartoon.
No, shut
like,
up.
Yeah, like, but you don't. And,
I grew up watching Godzilla and Stephen King.
But I'm about to put my sister on blast. Like I remember back.
We do that like every time you mention her, it seems like she tortured you when you were a kid, didn't she?
She did. Then that's the reason why I treat her the way I do now. Like when.
Oh come on, you're back Kyle and your she's sister. Your twin sister. I adore remember, your right? sister.
You know my sister. My
she's
sister,
got one sister.
she plays like she's nice, but she's not. Because I'll tell you, like when I was.
Okay,
was
I'll trade sisters. I'll take yours and you can have mine.
No. I'd rather deal with what I know. Was it back in 82, we went to see Star Trek, Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then, you know, Kirk dies.
Submarines in space.
Yes. So Kirk dies. I mean, not Kirk. Spock dies.
Yeah, not into darkness.
Not into darkness. Oh, God. No. Oh. So Spock dies. And then, you know, so then you have the funeral and it's Amazing Grace on bagpipes. And I don't care who you are or what your religious affiliation is, if your throat doesn't at least tighten up a little bit when you hear Amazing Grace on bagpipes, you don't have a soul. That's all I got to say about that.
I think I have the track on here from the Nimoy Memorial.
No, not right now.
Yeah. Maybe afterwards. If you guys want to know later, we actually did a tribute to Nimoy when he died. I can play the track for you later on after the show's over.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, you can... I was sick. I was so ticked off. That was one of the few times I was actually sick for Geek Watch 1.
Yeah, that was...
So I had to send it to you guys. You guys had to do it with the tribute without me, which, that killed me.
Yeah,
even worse than being sick. Like, I was in bed, couldn't get out of bed sick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was 2 years ago.
Something like that, yeah. We've been at this for almost 3. In January, we'll be at this 3 years, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting old.
Getting? But yeah, so I'm sitting there and you know, Amazing. And so so Scotty's playing this and I'm trying to hold it together, you know. I did not need my sister or my mom to see me. So you know, dark theater. And I'm sitting there, and I think I sniffed and sniffled, and my sister's like, and then all she looks at me, I see her look at my mom, and I'm like, oh, crap. And she's like, Mom, Colin's crying. And then I'm like, and then my mom's like, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying? And that was just it. Like, I shut off, but I did not cry for 8 years after that. That was it. Shoop, done. Done. That was it.
Then Optimus Prime died.
Yeah. Yeah, Optimus Prime. And I'm just like, that. Yeah, because that was, I mean.
Well, he was every kid's hero. I mean, he was the top of the bill. That, I mean, even comic book fans, it didn't matter. Optimus Prime was on top of the heap.
And with Prime, I mean, you know, the whole thing was like, I admit, like, I wanted Jazz to get it. I wanted Jazz to get the
what,
leadership matrix. No, the leadership.
Okay, the way you said that is like, I wanted Jazz to get it.
No, I didn't want Jazz to die.
Like,
no.
I thought you liked Jazz.
Wait, I love Jazz. Jazz is my favorite.
Did he get it in the movies, though?
That wasn't Jazz.
No, that wasn't Jazz. It was Rodimus.
No, she's talking in the new movies.
Jazz.
That car they called Jazz.
Yo, Jazz. Oh yeah, they get Jazz.
That wasn't Jazz.
They couldn't get a Porsche, so that's the thing. But yeah, they ripped him. That was bull though. That what Jazz got what ripped in half?
Something like that. Yeah. Well, that's like, did you hear in the new Bumblebee movie? They are going to actually, because it's, I guess, in the past or something, that they're doing a little bit.
Yeah.
And he actually is going to be a Volkswagen Beetle.
Okay. Although, I like him as
part of the movie, maybe.
Yeah. Well, it was a marketing decision, the reason they actually used all the Chevy cars. Because Chevy paid to put their cars in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, if you look, all the cars, all the Transformers, all the way through, or at least for the first movie, were all Chevys.
Yeah,
so, except for Optimus, because Chevy doesn't make a semi-truck.
So does that mean, that just shows if you got the money and mechanical spiders, you get whatever you want?
Pretty much. Hollywood is run on money, so if you're going to give them enough money, they'll do anything you want them to do.
Because I'm like, I'm sorry, if I had a choice between being a being a Porsche or being a Pontiac, I think, was that?
This is Solstice, yeah. Is Pontiac Solstice?
A Pontiac Solstice? I'm sorry, I'm going to be a Porsche.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yep. So, you know.
But back to panels. Was there any other surprise ones?
So we had, something new that we added this year was a panel that was popular. I know it was requested from Oddmall. It was our panel on polyamory. Yeah. And that one was very well attended, and it was followed up by...
How'd the Geek Speed Dating go? Because I didn't even get a look at it.
I actually, you know what? I didn't do it. I've been... Yeah. It was a, you know, interesting turnout, I guess. It was kind of cold.
Okay.
So a lot of people just
stick
around.
Room all weekend.
Yes. Yeah.
The great request for next year, can we have bonfires?
We may have to, whether they
let us or not.
We might be able to, because we're planning on doing fairies. Fairies one.
I don't know. That's not been announced yet, so we don't know.
I'm making an amendment. It won.
Vicky's making an executive decision for Andy that we're going to have the Enchanted Fairy Forest. Anybody listening to the show, there's been voting all weekend with the two monsters from Oddmall that... about what will the theme be next year? The Enchanted Fairy Forest or Giant Robot Battles? So, we will find out here. It will already have been announced by the time you listeners and all the geeksters out there hear it. But we are waiting, probably at the closing ceremonies, we'll find out who the winner was.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'd be a fan of Giant Robot Battles, but,
exactly.
You know,
well, we just spent 5-10 minutes talking about Transformers. I mean, come on.
Well, we also were thinking with the fairies, the costumes would be so much easier. I don't know if you want to walk around with boxes on you.
See, that
was the idea I had.
Well, he said, because the mics aren't going to pick up a lot of you guys, but he says he was hoping for a third choice of 10,000 Cobs Under the Sea. And then Vicky?
Well, no, that's what I wanted originally. A couple weeks ago, we went to a haunted charity, and it was a haunted pirate ship, and they had Under the Sea. And it was all glow-in-the-dark, and it was so cool. We're like, we need to do Atlantis.
We could do, if
this is one we're gonna have to talk Andy in for maybe the year after next or something, and do the Enchantment Under the Sea dance as part of this show.
That was another thing. If we did Under the Sea, we were gonna talk about doing as a theme, do a really bad prom. And then we felt old because Crystal
Dude,
was
there's
like,
your Geek Watch, there's our Geek Watch 1 party. We could have the Enchantment Under the Sea.
Crystal had said, oh, let's get like really old prom dresses from the 90s. And we all looked at her and said, we were in high school in the 90s.
Yeah.
Y'all were in high school in the 90s.
She was in like elementary when we were all in high school.
That's because you're the old man of the group.
Whatever.
What you got, Dan? Huh? So am I. We're both 40.
47.
No, Kylan just turned 47. So he's the old man.
Wow. Thank you.
He's the elder statesman.
That's right.
But, yeah. Any last couple things on panels before we move on? Because we got a lot of other stuff still to cover.
I did bigger and better and more for next year, so.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so.
Which we're going to be fighting for next year, too, I think. I'm going to try to talk Andy and then, uh-oh. Now we got trouble entering the room. All you listeners, we have Mark Bogner of the Tangent Bound Podcast Network just
Bogner,
walked in.
Mark Bogner,
y'all.
See, it's not Con of the Cob without Mark heckling us at some point.
I love you guys. So
we love you too.
I absolutely love you guys. So
we love you too, man. So, but let's move on to...
Let's jump into cosplay.
Okay, we can go to cosplay
no
next.
Cosplay.
Yes. So we had some major changes to cosplay. So, tell us about what happened with cosplay this year, babe.
Well, we decided to do prejudging.
Yes.
This year, which was people really, really enjoyed it. It gave them 10 minutes one-on-one with the judges where they could talk about their costumes. They made it, where the character came from, the details. Because we found that just walking across the stage, you don't see the details that a lot of them had. So, that went well. With a lot of the younger ones, there is.
Now, for people listening, you had mentioned that this takes out stage fright with the performance side of your costume.
Right. And then doing the being able to, that's how, like, the two with the Voltron, they were able to do their skit. Because they did it in front of us, and then, you know, they were able to come up here and do it in front of everybody.
Did you make them tap dance?
No, they did it. They did an entire Voltron skit.
Entire Voltron skit?
Yeah, they did it. They had Lance and Keith from the new Voltron, and they actually did a skit back and forth.
Oh, really?
With Lance with his book of really bad pickup lines.
I think Gander Stitch stole the book.
Yeah, Gander Stitch stole the book as they were walking off stage, so he had something to work with.
And then our guest of honor, CJ, fantastic.
We've had CJ Beauchamp, or CJ, who's known as Beauchamp.
Right.
Who we've had as a guest of the show on one of our Odd Mall shows.
Right.
Was your cosplay guest of honor this year.
Yep.
And he's actually doing a couple of panels right now, or else he'd probably be here with us.
Or I would be, yeah.
Yeah, you would be there also.
But yeah, and he's planning on coming back next year, so we do love him. And we actually already have our guest of honor for next year.
Awesome.
So,
this is where the prep starts for next year.
Yes.
Exactly. Like,
well,
now.
Well, that's what I told her. That's what I told her. I said, love you, but now you have a year to prep because you got panels next year.
Exactly. Well, this is where, I said, you were talking about that we're planning for next year already.
Yeah.
This is where Kylan and I are going to be arm wrestling over space, I think. Because we're going to get to music here in a second.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no. I mean,
so
it,
keep going
it,
with
it,
that.
It went really, really well.
There were some surprise costumes that were phenomenal this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I got to judge the kids yesterday, and there was a Hellboy.
Yes.
That kid looked like he grew facial hair. That kid was manlier than me. I'm just like.
Yep. He was really good.
And I mean, the kid.
He actually won the in the main cosplay competition. He won the kids category there.
He did. I mean, the kid, he didn't just look like Hellboy. He had Hellboy's attitude. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that was him.
That was him.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, he was good. His little brother was going to do the kids. Oh, yeah.
And the kids just walked. And the way he walked around, you know how kind of Hellboy just kind of has that, like, oh, yeah, I'm here. All right, well, y'all need me to. And that's how the kids act. Just like, yeah. Like, he's just like, well, that, all right, what's next? You know, like, I think I was like, number one, that's parenting done right because you let him watch Hellboy. Number two.
Yeah, he was a fan. He reads Hellboy.
Yeah.
See, that's even better than the kid reads Hellboy, not just watches it.
Well, no, but there's also, Injustice or whatever video game they're getting ready to put him in.
Oh, yeah, that's a point of contention on me a little bit. The Injustice video game, the DC Comics fighting game Injustice, and they're putting Hellboy into this game.
Really?
They've already put in Sub-Zero and a couple of Mortal Kombat characters.
Right.
And all it's like, dude, DC Comics has hundreds of characters that are not being used, but you're going to put in these characters from other shows, or from other games, and other properties. I mean, I know that they want the fans from those properties to come and play the game. But it's like, dude, DC has hundreds of characters you're not using. Use characters that are already in the universe.
Well, Marvel...
Unless they do, like, they have, like, a voting thing that people are actually voting on what characters you want to see.
You know, the thing is, like, these companies, when they see a license like that, they see that, well, the sexy thing now is downloadable content.
Yeah.
And so they would get, like, because Marvel, you know, they just released Marvel versus Capcom Infinite. And so, okay, so you're getting a bunch of Marvel characters, you're getting a bunch of Capcom characters, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, so now we're going to be, you want to play with this character? Well, in about 2 months, you'd be able to add him with downloadable content. Or and it's like, well, I want to play Injustice, but I don't want to just be stuck with these characters. Oh, you know what? We're going to have downloadable content, and you can have Hellboy. And it's like,
yeah,
you know.
Well, that also,
I don't know.
It's not,
just that I'm like you. That
DC,
seems weird.
Marvel, the big companies that are giving these licenses aren't making the game.
No,
it's the game company doing this. But no, what were you saying about the Injustice though with one of the kids?
That's the why he did Hellboy.
Oh, okay. Oh, because he's coming to Injustice. Okay.
Yeah, that's why he did it. It's his favorite character, and he did it as honor for that.
Cool. Now, for everybody that Bunny was taking pictures all the time, wasn't she?
Yes.
So are those going to be up on the con page?
Yes, she's going to have them posted.
Okay, they're going to be on the con Facebook page and probably on the website.
They would have been up now, but she was having internet issues,
okay,
like most of us. So she's just going to wait. But yeah, they will be. Everything will be up there. She's,
okay.
I know she's took pictures of like our Friday night party, all the cosplayers. This year was, I mean, we were really, really impressed, but it was very, very difficult to judge. Like, it was great having Sean and CJ and myself and Jesse, and there's a few other people that were just kind of hanging out.
We talked about CJ.
Yes.
You got to give a big shout out to, now CJ was an awesome judge, but your other judge.
Yeah, Sean Patrick Fanning.
Exactly. We had Sean Patrick Fanning sit in there, and he offered up his room for judging, to use for the judging.
Awesome.
Yep.
Which
turned out, I mean, I must feel that was better for everybody to be in more of a closed off space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Cassie got her first nap for the weekend and was good to go.
Exactly.
Is she napping now?
Mario? Yeah.
Oh, Mario. What was that, one of the kids?
No.
No? I didn't see the Mario.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
I never saw him, but that sounds cool.
I saw him, yeah.
So, what else do you have on cosplay?
It was really difficult voting, judging.
Okay.
We learned a lot. We've got a few things that we want to change up, but I mean, overall, I think that completely redoing, I think it went really, really well.
So, like, kind of bigger and better for next year.
Yes.
Also,
yes.
There's going to be no.
Next year, we need to open up the room because it wasn't big enough.
We're gonna make some changes there, but also for next year, the cosplay information will be updated much sooner on the website. So watch the Con of the Cob website for information on how it's gonna work, when you can sign up, and all of that type of thing. So, and we're working on getting the Con of the Cob website updated faster as we go, and more accurately and stuff. So, but from cosplay, let's move over to
last year the cosplay. I bought a baby Bigfoot.
Yeah, CJ actually. His partner had plushies that she makes.
He makes. Yes.
And you got a Bigfoot.
I got a baby Bigfoot.
And they kind of look like Pokemon almost.
They're cute. I had to get a baby Bigfoot. It's
exactly
in the back of my backpack.
So, but let's move on to music real quick. Because we actually had a new stage this year that we've never had before. And the feedback I've got so far was everybody enjoyed it. In the afternoons, we had in the con suite, which not every con has this, but we actually have a room that's just a relaxed room where you can do open gaming or stuff, but we actually have food and drinks available in there for anybody at the con,
free for whoever needs it. That way, and you got like peanut butter and jelly and some snacks and things like that.
But then we had all those food trucks that came in.
Yeah. Peanut butter and jelly time?
No, it's not peanut butter and jelly time yet.
Was it there?
No. Well, the peanut butter jelly was there, yes, but it's not that time now.
Where you at? There you go.
But we actually had in the stage in the con suite was in the afternoon. We had two artists that would come in and play. Mike McFarland played a couple spots. We had Sean Benjamin and Kevin Conway, which have been at Odd Malls multiple times, and a new performer for us, Kim Kennedy, was there. And it's just an acoustic set of just sit back and relax, and it was something that you're not going to hear on the main stage music for Con on the Cop.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of,
because they're not necessarily nerd bands or geek bands.
I was like, speaking of that, that's how Cassie got into a music video. She's our real actor now.
I'm going to get to that in a minute, because on the main stage, Friday night and Saturday night, we had our three big musical guests that we had returning, 2D6, which closed out the set Friday night and was basically opened our party.
Yep.
Which was awesome. 2D6, the Worm Quartet, Shoebox from Worm Quartet was here. Mm-hmm. And Devo Spice, the three of them. And I got to actually, for the first time since I'm learning music now, I was able to sit through their sets and listen. Phenomenal stuff. If you guys get a chance to check out these guys, they are awesome. Mm-hmm. But I know I want to have them back. But we had another new artist, well, kind of two Con of the Cob new artists that came this year. One of them is the Oddball Band, which we've talked about before.
Right.
We know that's myself, Mike McFarlane, and O'Brien from Oddball.
And Jeff Dow.
And our friend Big Jeff joined the band this weekend.
Yep.
The Oddball Band is an open freeform. Anybody who actually plays an instrument or doesn't play an instrument just wants to get up and have a good time with us, you're part of the band. That's the Oddball Band. Mm-hmm. So we were able to get them to help open up the music part Saturday after the costume presentation.
Yep.
And then X-Ray Burns, actually, we've had him at Oddball once, but he actually was able to make his Con of the Cob debut this year.
All right, cool.
And X-Ray has some awesome stuff, a local Cleveland guy here. And we're hoping in the future, like you said, bigger and better for next year. This is where I'm going to be fighting you, because I want some more time on Saturday. We need more time on Saturday for music to bring a couple more bands in. Because we're limited on time because of the amount of parties that are Saturday night.
Right.
We really need to close the stage at about 11 o'clock. That way people, that way we're not competing with the parties. But, so the only way to do that would be to extend the front time of it. So right. We're going to arm wrestle or something and figure something out here.
I don't know, dude. I don't know, man. Because that was... the thing was, like... We had one panel that was going on in the restaurant at 5 o'clock. And at the same time, we had in the main panel room that we're in now, we had the costume competition in for kids. Now, if it'll be possible, if you can find another place for the kids' costume competition, then you could have this space. I'd be willing to do that. But
we'll talk it over. We got a year to figure this out.
I wouldn't worry about it right now.
Maybe I'll like slip something in your drink so you say yes.
I'm not that easy.
I don't care
what y'all say.
But the music was phenomenal. Road Cthulhu actually had 2D6 and Devo play at their parties.
Right.
But Worm Quartet actually has a song called About a Dog.
One Dog.
And it's about one dog. And it's all about him seeing a dog.
A whole dog.
Well, yes. One contiguous dog. And the thing is, they saw Cassie with us this weekend, and Cassie is now going to star in the music video for this song. And we did the filming for it in the hallways and in the rooms here at Con on the Cob this weekend.
I think they're going to end up using what we filmed upstairs.
Probably. So I'm not sure when. Keep an eye on the FUMP website. I think it's FUMPmusic.com or the Funny Music Project. If you look it under FUMP or Funny Music Project, you'll find it. And watch for Worm Quartet's video about a dog, or it's about one dog. I'm not sure exactly the name of the song, but it'll be on there. They're going to let me know as soon as they get it.
Cool.
And I'll have to like link it to the Geek Watch One page or something.
Oh, yeah.
So Cassie is now a music video star.
She actually did really, really well.
Yeah.
We blocked the... Up on the fourth floor, we were able to block a little bit of the hallway, and she was just running. So she videoed, she's pretty much chasing him, and he's chasing her.
And if you guys have seen Worm,
Yeah. Well, have you seen Worm Quartet?
Hey, she's following in her parents'
exactly. footsteps. If you've seen Shoebox perform, he's all over the stage singing and bouncing and dancing, and that's what he was doing with her there. So she was attacking him and back and forth. It was great.
So,
but what you got, Kylan?
So you're saying that right now in your house, you have somebody that's a video girl.
Exactly.
Well, all right.
She went from booth babe to video babe now.
I just want to make sure I heard that right. Okay.
Yep.
So,
they grow up so fast.
Well, that was most of the music for this weekend.
Right.
And as you said, Kylan, last you coined it bigger and better for next year.
Bigger, better.
That's right.
Speaking of bigger, better, I think our party was...
We had some unplanned stuff that made our party even more epic than ever.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to Bart. Love you, Bart.
Hey, Bart.
Bart was the man helping out Vicky with bartending.
He was a huge lifesaver, because every time I turn around, I had a line.
Yeah, the line at Vicky's bar never dropped. And I think hers may have been the most populated party of the entire weekend.
Well, you know, I
or our party, not her party, but
I made the rounds.
Yeah.
I made the rounds, and I would say that it seemed like our party was the bar seemed to be consistently packed. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank Bart. You know, I know his experience at the Double Deuce. He was trained by Dalton himself, and Bart pulled me aside. He says, Kylan, I want you to know that I'm going to be nice, you know, and I want you to know I'm going to be nice until it's time to not be nice. And then he looked me dead in the eye when he said that. Kind of froze me a little bit.
Kylan, I abandoned the party once you started.
Oh, we're going to get into that in a minute.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy.
I got one more.
But wait, the brownies.
We had more brownies than we've ever had at a party.
Yeah, I'm like,
and we didn't even want to do a brownie pie.
Anyway,
huh?
You know what? From now on,
we're gonna have to do it. I think because Andy's not gonna let us not.
It's gonna be an unofficial brownie bake off. Cause I mean, you know what? Let's face it. We all like brownies, and I don't care if we judge or not. It's just an unofficial brownie bake off. Brownies are a party geek watch one. And you know what? If people are bringing brownies, I'm not going to get in the way of you bringing the brownies. But whoever brought those slutty brownies, yes. The slutty brownies, Kylan approves. I want you to know that right now.
The blueberry was really good, too.
The blueberry was good, too. But the slutty brownie, man, guys.
Yeah.
There was none left by the time I actually got away from the
sorry.
Bar.
Well, yeah, there was still.
Kylan's like, sorry, like he ate all of them.
Well, I got the last slutty one.
Ah, okay.
I did get that one, so.
Yeah, there wasn't much left, but a little bit of blueberry one.
Well, before we get to the surprise of the party that we didn't know we planned for, I got to give at least one big shout out to Big John.
Yeah.
John Shady, that he's always worked, he's our unofficial doorman at our parties anyway, because we've really not done a lot in the way of ID checking or anything at our parties because it's just a little more relaxed. Being a toga party this year, we made an actual effort and told everybody 18 and over to get into the party.
Yes.
And to help Vicky out, we actually were issuing wristbands to 21 and over.
Yes.
And John was the man sitting at the door taking care of that for us.
He handled his. He stayed on top of it. Mm-hmm. And it was... I mean... It's not an easy job.
No.
It's not an easy job, but he stayed on top of it, and you know what? He also was there to help us with breakdown, too, which luckily, because people ate so much stuff, breakdown was so easy.
Oh, dude, coming into the party,
yeah,
we had one of the luggage carts full all the way up to the top and almost falling off.
Right.
With just for stuff for Vicky.
Right.
Okay, for her bar and the decorations. Going, leaving, I had one tote.
Yeah, it was...
And that was it.
All I have left is some gummies, last I saw.
Yeah.
It was my version of a Mexican video I watched. The drink is like the size, like bigger than your head.
Usually.
It's usually the equivalent of like one or two bottles of tequila, depends how much they liked you.
Well,
so we're just starting off the night.
Well, as the party was winding down... Andy actually upgraded to a new HD projector this year.
Yeah.
So that some of these bands, a lot of our nerdcore bands and stuff actually have a video presentation that goes with their, that's timed with their music.
Right.
And so it was a lot easier just to have them plug in and go. So,
Made it easier because the guys were able to just plug in and go.
Yeah. Well, right. We've had Brock and, or not Brock, Kevin and Brent on our show before.
Yeah.
Well, their friend Brock was here, and they're all volunteering this weekend because they're the Volunteer Supremes.
Yeah,
but
they
Brock
are.
Had a crazy inspired idea
no,
that
Kevin
I didn't know.
Kevin and Brent are the Awesome Possums.
Huh?
Brent and Kevin are the Awesome Possums.
Okay. I've not heard that one. So, but Brock
Ice
came
Age.
Up, oh, no. No way. Okay. You just get picked that up too?
Yeah.
So, but Brock, I got to give him the big shout out because I didn't know this existed. There are karaoke tracks on YouTube, all the karaoke videos for all your songs, the lyrics and all. And we have the computer set up to the projector, and we had the sound system hooked up already.
Mm-hmm.
So at about, 11:30 this year,
yep.
We broke into the late night Con on the Cob Friday night karaoke jam session. And for like the next hour and a half, it was just people hanging out and singing karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
So we've made the executive decision. Next year, we're going to start it and have an official time.
Yeah.
From 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock a.m. will be the late night Friday night karaoke jam session as part of the Geek Watch 1 party.
So does this mean we're actually going to get Geek Watch 1 after dark?
Well, if you watch Kylan and Leah and some of the other ones on stage, we already had after dark. Even Sean Fannin was up here singing for us.
So, well, yeah, it was because you have...
Still posting.
Oh, but
well, because you had a
have those approved first.
Because you had a nipple hanging out.
Well, I was wearing a toga. You have to. So,
Yeah, did you see Vern coming up behind you or no?
I saw somebody, and I was like, the thing was, I was in full on performance mode at that point. So I had to keep on going, but I saw somebody coming up, and I'm like, okay, it's all good.
Yeah, if you guys want to know what Kylan was singing through a couple times, email the show and ask.
Well, wait, it was your Dragon Con costume, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was based off the Dragon Con, yeah. It's from it was one of Chef's songs.
And from there, I think everybody now knows what the song was. But So we're actually running close to the end of the show here. So Or actually, Kylan, you said just give a couple shout outs. You said you played a couple of new games. Actually, the one you do want to talk about, I know.
Yes.
Because you actually sat in on a Sean Fannin game.
I did. I got to play Freedom Squadron.
I didn't know he was running that because I wasn't watching this guy. You should have told me how to play it, man. It's basically G.I. Joe, the role playing game, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So there's a game that is a board game. And about a year ago, Sean was talking to us about this. We interviewed him at Con on Cob last year, and he was working on developing an RPG set using the Savage World system for this game that was sort of like, it was inspired by G.I. Joe. It was inspired by G.I. Joe, but more the comic version of G.I. Joe than the cartoon. So, like, people died and that sort of thing. But in his system, you would have...
There's no parachutes?
There were parachutes, if the parachute worked, you know, or because, you know, you could roll a one, that parachute does not open, and then, you know, you got problems.
Yeah, what happens if you roll a one, then you roll a 20, so you're just bouncing and surviving?
Well, what would happen, if you can come up with a good story, if you roll a one, well, you know what, if you roll a one on one of them, and you roll a, I guess, if you roll a one and a six, then you're good because that six is going to be the would be what would count. Now, if you rolled a one and a one, but then you were able to maybe, you know, but then you rolled another die using your Benny, and that was a one. There's nothing saving you, dude. Nothing at that point. You're high speed dirt. At that point,
I like that. Now there's your. Okay, Dawn, when you listen to this, there's your title for this song, or for this show, High Speed Dirt.
that was a song, I forget the name of the band, but it was a song. It's a song about this guy who jumps out of a plane, and he's skydiving, and the parachute doesn't open, and it just chronicles the guy's fall until he hits the ground. Yeah. So anyway... So my character, like you start off as a specialist commando in this with this team, and you're going on a mission. Now, through the mission, you have certain objectives that you have to complete. And the thing is, this is a storytelling type game, so you have to be able to like just full on go for it, straight 80s action style, over the top. No reasons for why you did what you did and make it believable. So it was fun because, like, when I'm first playing the game, I'm just kind of being a little straightforward about it. But then I noticed that some people were sitting there Googling stuff. And so they started explaining why they were doing what they were doing. And they had traveled to this person and they met with this person. And then they did this and they did that. And all of a sudden it becomes almost like cinematic, has a cinematic quality to it. And I'm like,
you basically are world building at the same time you're playing?
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So then I started doing that and explaining how to talk to this person. And I'm Googling, and this person was with this company, blah, blah, blah. And so then I'm starting to get bennies and stuff. I'm like, I'm loving this. And all of a sudden, the story started to build up. And by the time I put to you like this. You hit certain levels, and as you hit certain levels, you're guaranteed success. But then if you go over and above, I think like the maximum victories or achievements you can get is like 28. If you get that, then you end up with like a bonus. Everybody gets a card to add or a trait to add to their character, and so then you can add that when you boost your character up, because these are characters that are ours and they will follow us as we play from here on. So my character was a spy, and she was like a martial artist, acrobat and everything, and she was on this plane that this guy decided he was gonna crash into a giant warehouse, and then there's this huge gunfight, and there was explosions everywhere, and it was awesome. I took out three terrorists with the I was like a gunner. I was like on one of the door gunners, and they're like boom, 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 done. It was a beautiful thing, man. I was just like,
and he has this game out available now, isn't it?
Yeah. Well. Here's the thing, actually.
Because I know last year at Con of the Cob, when we interviewed Sean, he was talking about they were developing it still.
Yeah, like the board game is out. Freedom Squadron is out. I have it at home. I have Sean Patrick Fannin's card, his official card, that I can add to my deck now. And this character was created for him by the guys who create the game. And okay. Also, his Freedom Squadron game is getting a Kickstarter that's going to be, you guys write this down on your calendars, March 10th, 2018. So, and of course, we'll be posting about that.
Oh, yeah.
As well, too.
We may have to have Sean back on the show closer to that time, so we can actually have them talk about where they're at in the development stuff.
Yeah. So now I will tell people, like, if you love tactical action, this is your game.
Yeah.
If you love over the top 80s action movies, this is your game. If you like
rainbows and unicorns,
this might be your game too.
Okay.
You know. I don't know where a unicorn or a rainbow would fit into this.
Hey,
but
if you tell the story right.
Yeah, exactly. You know what?
It's something you would have actually seen it in G.I. Joe somewhere back in the 80s. They could have fit that in there, at least in the cartoon.
It was chemical mishap.
You know what? That's true. You have a chemical mishap and you have
you hallucinate.
A mad unicorn running around stabbing people with the. Yeah, there you go, see? Boom. And then, you know, then you have to, like, get a
parallel universe got ripped open.
I need a grenade launcher. And you know what? That's true, because there are mystics. There are mystics, and there's a mystic ability, a mystic quality to the game. So, you know what? If there's a crazy, crazy unicorn, you know? Now, that unicorn may not last long because they might get a rocket launcher, but I'm just saying. You know, or a grenade launcher. Because,
I,
you know,
I wanted to do that. I wanted to make a double.
A rocket launcher?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh. No, I wanted to make double
a barrel. Cyborg unicorn that's had
like
its
tank guns
replaced.
For Cassie. No, I got a cosplay for her next year. I want to make double barrel like tank guns and put on Cassie's back.
Nice.
Like you know, there's very few problems that can't be solved with a grenade launcher. I'm just saying.
So that was Freedom Fighters, right?
No, Freedom Squadron.
Freedom Squadron. Watch for it on Kickstarter on March 10th. You said, right?
March 10th.
That's the start of the campaign. We'll have Sean on here before that time to talk about it.
Yeah.
So, is there anything else we want to touch on real quick before we wrap up the show today? I think that covers most of it. Andy wanted to be on here, but it's the end of the show, so we know the way he's running around crazy taking care of stuff. So we'll catch up with him later and have him on the show when we're back in Mother Earth Creations.
Yeah, so, but now this is, now are we going to be, is this the same room where the cornies are going to be?
Yes, all that's right here. All right,
so that's pretty much it then.
Yeah, Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about food trucks.
Dude. All the food trucks, oh my God.
We had
One thing.
What?
Thank you, hotel, for not having food.
Yeah, we want to thank the hotel for not opening the restaurant this year. Because that gave us the opportunity to bring in food trucks.
Oh,
we had
man.
Three regular food trucks, and there was a fourth one that was just funnel cakes.
Yes.
Which I believe. I never got to that one.
I never got to the funnel cake.
We still have time, so I figured we'll go after this, because I need a fried Oreo.
We got to give a shout out to... Yeah.
We got Oreos and he had a ton of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got to give a shout out to Stray Dog, which we've mentioned on the show a couple times.
Yeah,
we give Charlie plugs all the time.
Yeah, I gave Stray Dog some of my money this time. It was good.
Did you get the mac and cheese hot dog?
I don't do macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
I know. I don't.
Well, his niece was
all Southerners everywhere have removed Kylan's Southerner card because of this.
You know what? My barbecue is pretty awesome. And, you know, just because I eat macaroni and cheese, I don't care.
Well... he had a mac and cheese dog. He had all the regular hot dogs and grilled cheeses that he was doing on the grill. Also,
we had
lobster louie, which was all the fried seafood.
Yes,
and they even had burgers and stuff. But they had like clam strips. They ran out of them yesterday because Vicky wanted one. They had lobster tail on a stick. Lobster tail on a stick.
Yeah.
Cajun gator bites, all kinds of stuff like that.
Right.
And then the last truck we had was the Cedar Grill. Is that what this is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the Cedar Grill.
The Mediterranean.
Which was Mediterranean fusion.
Yes.
So
oh,
they
man.
Had all your falafels, and I had kafka and shawarma.
Yeah.
And fresh cut french fries. You know what? That's my kryptonite.
Well,
so good.
The point is the variety.
Yes.
It wasn't like... three dudes selling burgers.
Mm-mm.
No.
There was a variety. The prices were right for food trucks. It was it was great. I mean, you guys obviously tried the food trucks. This is the first Con of the Cob that I've not left since Wednesday.
That's true.
Usually, we leave, go out to get dinner, come back, things like that. But we didn't have to.
No.
Because there was actually a selection of food that, and it was good stuff.
It was really good stuff.
So that's something new. Remember when we went to Gen Con last year? That Vicky and I, one of the things that Gen Con that impressed us was food trucks everywhere. That was awesome. You don't have to go very far.
And how quick and efficient they rotated everybody out, so you had different for lunch and dinner.
Exactly. So, we got to give it a shout out to the food trucks. Was there anything else we missed, you guys think, that we've not touched on a little bit?
Bacon avocado hot dog.
Yeah, that was the first thing she had.
That was delicious.
Avocado don't need to be everywhere.
It actually was good. It didn't need like anything else. You got the crisp and the salt of that, and then you
avocado.
Got the creamy.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of avocado either myself.
No.
But
Oh yeah.
We know Charlie. we have his mustard in our fridge at home.
Yeah, whenever we have any out,
he sells the mustard. Go catch him before you leave.
if not,
he'll be here for a while. It's like Charlie sells the mustard. He's got a bunch of other sauces. He's got a whole line of sauces that
hopefully
he makes.
Hopefully, he has something with him. But yeah.
Yeah. No. He said on Wednesday they had a lot with him. So.
Okay. Good.
Was he doing chili dogs too, or
no?
Okay.
I think someone else. Lancho Louis may have had dogs.
Okay.
Too, but
yeah. They had.
So
some.
We are getting time. It's time to wrap this up because they're going to be starting the closing ceremonies with us sitting here still recording if we don't.
Right.
So, but. Geeksters, the whole thing is come to Con on the Cob.
Go to ConOfCob.com for all the information. Andy should be updating the website soon for next year.
Yep. I'm sorry for anyone that wasn't able to come this year. Please come next year.
Exactly. This is where you want to be. I've been telling people this all weekend long that this is home.
Yes.
The rest of the year, this 4 days is home. The rest of the year, you're out visiting wherever you're at and being there. But that you come back here, this is the family reunion. Even guys that have only been here a couple of times, this is family. You come here and there's a family reunion. That's what it feels like.
Yep. That's true. I mean, like, you know, yesterday we had a we brought back the diversity panel.
Yeah.
And we diversity and inclusivity panel, and we had Davina there, who last year had chosen the diversity panel last year to come out as a woman.
Yeah.
And then this year, Davina gave herself a name as well, and so she came back, and she said that she was driving home from the show last year with tears of joy because she was so happy at being from feeling so accepted here at Con on Cobb. You know, this is just a big old family here. We all just want to, you know, just on a big old hugs to everybody.
That's right. You see a lot, very few handshakes around here. Everybody walks up and gives a hug. Mm-hmm. So, but it's time we're going to have to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Like I said, go to conofthecob.com. Con of the Cob! That's right. For all the information. We, as always, we will be updating on as things change.
Yep.
But from there, remember, you can always find GeekWatch 1 anywhere, everywhere on the internet as GeekWatch 1.
Yep.
GeekWatch1.com is your home for everything. Check out the sponsors and affiliates pages. Check out some of our other friends. We have links on there to other podcasts, mm-hmm. including the Tangibound Network and We Be Geeks, as Mark walks back in the room. I'm getting notifications pop up on my computer, but that's fine. But if you go to any provider on the internet or all social media, search GeekWatch 1. Put GeekWatch 1 in the search bar. If you don't find us, let us know. Miss Dawn will take care of the problem. If you, also, go to geekwatch1@gmail.com. And that's where you will get directly to us when we respond when we get email.
And send them.
Miss Dawn wants emails. So send us geekwatch1@gmail.com. We're also members of the Tangibound and Weeby Geeks networks at tangiboundnetwork.com and weebygeekspc.com. Then from there, for Kylan and for Vicky and for myself and for Con on the Cob, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.